coming back, Pastor Pizza? Okay, well then I guess I'll be back. Okay. Anyway, everyone should have a wonderful vacation. Hopefully productive, but not too challenging. You should enjoy a little, rest up a little bit. Okay. Parshas Vayakel today, a little bit challenging to find explicit halakhic topics. However, there is a tradition. When I say tradition, I of course use that term liberally, but within those Svarim or Magid Shir discuss the halakhic topics connected to the Parshas, so there's a tradition to use these Parshas to discuss Hilchos Shabbos. The basic reason, of course, being that we know that because of a drasha, the Gemara teaches us that the building of the Mishkan or the Mikdash does not supersede the mitzvah of Shabbos, which we extend, of course, generally to teach us that mitzvos cannot supersede Shabbos. But in particular, when it comes to the opening Tzvikim of Parshas Vayakel, there's actually a particular drasha. It's kind of a funny drasha, I guess you could say, in the beginning, in the Gemara of Masechta Shabbos, which actually sees hidden or encoded in the opening Tzvikim of the Parsha a reference to the 39 Avos Melachos. The Parsha begins, Yakel Moshe as Ka'adas B'nai Yisrael. Moshe gathers everyone, Yomar Lam, and he tells them, Eila Hadvarim, these are the things that Shershiva Hashem Lasos Osam. And now he gives us a very specific example, not just a general Tzivoy of Shabbos, but rather, of Mitzvot, but rather specifically Shabbos. Sheish Yomim Tasem Locha, of Yom HaShvi'i, Iya Lachem Kodesh Shabbos Shabboson, Lashem Kol Sasebom Locha Yumas. Shabbos, you have to be careful, no malacha. If you do malacha, you'll die. And then Gimel, which is the reason that the Gemara is going to be discussing this. The Gemara, after just discussing generally the whole corpus of Hilchos Shabbos, then it gives one specific example. Lo seva'aru eish b'chol moshvotechem b'yom ha'shabbat. That you're not allowed to light a fire on Shabbos. And this exclusion, this taking out of Havara, of kindling, giving its own pasuk, leads to a huge and very famous machlokes that's cited by Chazal here in the Gemara Masechta Shabbos. But what's the purpose of Havara being treated separately? And the specifics of that debate are interesting. That could have been the topic of the shir, but it's not. However, in the context of the Gemara discussing why Havara is singled out, the Gemara mentions the teaching of Rabbi Nasa, who says from the following in these psukim. Lo sevaru eish v'chol moshvotechem v'yom ha'shabbos. Ma tam alomer, what's it coming to teach us? V'shenemar, after all, the pasuk says, v'yikal Moshe es kol adas b'Yisrael ila ha'dvarim. Sheshes yomim tasa, as we just read. So the Gemara says as follows. Dvarim implies two things. Ila ha'dvarim, these are the things. Right? Dvarim is plural, that's already two. Dvarim. Ha'dvarim, with the hey, ila ha'dvarim, that's already three. Then we add the words Elu. What's the gematria of Elu? Almost works out. Arbaim Chasarachas, in a sense. Namely, Elu Shloshim Vatesha Melochos Shenamru L'Moshe Misinai. Somehow encoded, hidden at Elu Hadvarim. What am I saying? I trusted you guys. Elu Hadvarim, it's 36. 36 plus 3 is 39. Didn't Thomas say 37? Oh, you said 36? I can't hear you because of the air conditioning. I don't feel the air conditioning, but apparently it's affecting my hearing. Shkar. Eil hadvarim, eil shloshim v'techem malachos. 36 plus 3 is 39. This is a reference, a hint to the 39 malachos. So once we have this Gemara giving us a launching pad from the opening of our parsha, it's a hidden reference. So Pasha, we have 39 topics that we could choose from and call it a Pasha Vayakel topic. So of all the 39 Melachos, I decided to speak about one of the Melachos, which is really very interesting and actually has quite a few practical ramifications, and that's the Melacha of Borer. We'll discuss some of the practical issues, but that's not going to be the main focus of this year. And if we wanted to really have a comprehensive understanding of the Halachos of Borer, not only would that require a shir in itself, but probably require more than one shir. But let's discuss the laws of Borer. Now, very basically, who knows what actions Bara refers to. What does Bara mean? Air conditioning's on loud. Selecting, separating, sifting, taking one thing. And what is usually considered the definition of the prohibited act? You have a mixture of things, and what do? You take what? You take something you don't like, and that way you are remaining, what remains is just what you do like. Now it happens to be that there are exceptions to the rule. Who knows what are the big three exceptions? Right, so one is ochel. You take the food, not the bad. You take the good, not the bad. Biyad, you use your hand, not a kli. And miyad, you're going to do it to eat right away. Ochel, biyad, and miyad. But other than that, it would seem to be a prohibition. Now we'll try to get, if we have time, at the end of this year, to discuss borer with non-food items. But all the classic examples in the Shas are all discussing food items. And whether that's significant or not, we'll have to see if we have time to end this year. But generally speaking, the discussion is food items. Where was there borer in Melechas HaMishkan? Right? For there to be an Av Melecha, it had to have been in the Mishkan. Where was there borer? So borer, of course, comes up in the Sidurei Depas. It's after they harvested the wheat, and after they trampled it and separated the wheat from the chaff, then you had a pile of good and bad. And they couldn't, eventually, they needed to take away the bad in order that they should then be left with the actual grain, which they could then grind, make the flour, and bake bread. So the context in the Daraisa Mishkan model is when you had the grain, the wheat specifically, and the pebbles and the chaff that were all set all together when you took it from the field, and you separated it out, so you could then go to the next step of actually grinding and eventually making your cake or your bread. Yeah? Is cutlery a kli? That's an interesting question, but let's assume the answer is yes. Who said do what? I said you could do, we have three options. Ochel, biyad, and miyad. So if you cut away something right before you eat, that's miyad. Now it's a discussion which we're not going to get at all into today. What counts as miyad? There's a big discussion, for example, let's say a woman is making a salad or something, and she's doing it around 10, 10:30, and then she wants to go to shul. She'll grab musaf, and then she'll be home an hour and a half later, and have lunch. Is that too far removed or not? Or is that sufficiently miyad? How miyad is miyad? But as I said, those are topics we're not going to discuss. Now, one of the rules, which you're probably familiar with, which is an essential ingredient to violating an Isser Daraisa on Shabbos, is that it has to be done in a way that's known as a Melacha Shetzricha Legufa. Now, how do you define that concept is itself a huge discussion. But the simple understanding is, at least as it's going to be related to what we're about to see, is that the action that you're doing is for the purpose, for the benefit of the object you're doing the action to. It's a Melacha that is Tzricha Legufa. You need it for what you're doing it for, not for something else. Now, that perhaps somewhat vague or abstract definition hopefully will become crystal clear when we see the very important machlokas Rishonim in number 2. The Palamor and the Sechta Shabbos has a fantastic finish. He says the following: Kol Shloshim V'Teisha Melachos Shev Mishkan, all of the 39 Melachos from the Mishkan, Kulon Hoye Behen L'Tzorach Gufa. Right, as we said, it's an essential definition to Melacha Shabbos that they have to be L'Tzorach Gufa, and that's what makes them part of the Avos Melachos. However, says the Baal Amor, built in on a D'Oraisa level, there are exceptions to that rule. Chutz min HaZoreh V'HaBoreh. Zoreh was in the time of the Mishkan when they used to have some, and they used to basically throw it up in the wind, and the heavier chaff or the heavier pebbles would separate through that. And then they had to do Boreh to even refine it more. Zoreh is a similar principle, it's a similar action, also a way, a mechanism of removing the bad from the good. Says the Baal HaMor, most of the mulachos, they were done in the Mishkan L'Tzara Tufan, therefore, for all generations, to be in violation, you have to do it L'Tzara Tufan. But, he says there are exceptions, and the exceptions are Borer, which is relevant for us, and Zora. Why? Shehu Zora Mutimna Gorem. The Haborer, what's relevant for us, Tzroros Menakri. You're separating out the rocks, the pebbles, from your pile. Zeikr Malachton. You're separating Lidchos, Hatzroros, these pebbles. So you're doing your action, the Malacha is being done with what? With the Tzroros. You're doing your action to the pebbles. Even though it's not L'tzorach, the pebbles, it's L'tzorach something else, the wheat. So you're doing your action to one thing, but not L'tzorach it, not for its benefit, but rather for the benefit of something right next door, but something else, the wheat. So he says, don't get nervous, all of a sudden someone's going to wake up one day, oh my gosh, gewalt! How can we ever be in violation of Borer? By definition, it's a malacha shein etzrich l'gufa. Says the Bilmore, you're right. And Echanami, the Torah knows that. The Torah goes in, this is an exception to the rule. These two malachos don't have to be. And Echanami, in the Mishkan, they were not l'tzarach gufan. Therefore, you can violate them even without themselves, the violation being l'tzarach gufan. That's the Baal HaMor. Comes along the Ramban. Mainly, this particular Ramban discovered by the Eglei Tal. And seems to disagree. He's not directly confronting the Baal HaMor, but through his language, it seems like he disagrees. The question will be, how much does he disagree about? But it definitely seems like he disagrees at least a little bit. Said the Ramban, Demila, right? We know that, ostensibly, Bris Mila is Asur on Shabbos. If it's the baby's eighth day, there's a Deres HaKasa that allows it. But other than that, it's an Isur Daraisa to do a Mila on Shabbos. Says Ramban, Mila Vadai Malacha Hatzricha Lagufa. He. It is a Malacha Hatzricha Lagufa. Now let's step back and think about that for a second. Is that so obvious? After all, what's the purpose of Mila? We're doing an action to the Arla. We're taking away the Arla. You could have argued, similarly to the Baal HaMor, you're doing an action to one thing. But clearly it's not for the benefit of that thing, it's for the benefit of the person. Yet, says the Baal HaMor, that is considered Malacha Shrich L'Gufa. Why? As he defines the term, Shehu Sarik Shehe Adam Ze Mahur. We don't look at it so narrowly. Once I remove the Arla, I did an action to the Arla, not the person. You look at the person in totality. And the why am I doing this action? I'm not doing it for the Arla. I'm doing it for the person. That's L'tzorach gufa. And therefore, it's us, in theory. Umehadoma lezeh, what's now relevant to us, what's similar, he says. Hanotot ziparnav. Baseyar. Two other malachos, which are us on Shabbos. Cutting your nails, cutting your hair, certainly pulling your hair from the roots. Those are also Yisrei D'Oraisa, violations of Gozeis. So all of these bear a superficial similarity. I'm taking one thing away from something else. Again, says the Baal HaMor, that counts as the Ramban, Tzorach Gufa. Chein Hazore VeHaborer. So too he says Borer. It's not like the Baal HaMor was Machadesh, an exception to the rule. Rather, it's perfectly consistent with the other 36, 37, 38 Malachos. Borer, Zora, just like Mila. In other words, says the Baal, says Ramban, in essence, if you were going to take such a narrow, limited definition of the Baal HaMor, it wouldn't just be those two. You'd have problems with all sorts of things. Mila, Gozes. But, says the Baal HaMor, in fact, you don't have a bigger problem. We have no problem. So they're all, by definition, actually considered Malacha Sheh. Now it's possible to suggest that there's some radical machlokes about the definition of Malacha Shetricha L'Gufa, but it's also possible, and this seems to be the way that at least a number of Achronim assume, that in fact the argument seems to be more relevant, more germane, and that is it may be relevant to how do we understand the malacha of Borer? Wherein lies the malacha? Let's take a look at the Egel Eital. Let's see his chiddush, which I'm not going to be entirely happy with. Then we'll see the Bir Halacha, and then we'll try to crystallize all of this so that we're clear as we go forward. Egel Eital quotes first the Baal HaMor, which we've seen. He says, Umavur, and he analyzes it. So we see from this, Tis Sirilei Demalef Borer, Psoles Mi'ocha. The definition, which we alluded to before, you guys knew it, to be a violation of Borer, you took the bad from the good, right? As opposed to if you took Ochel, you took Psoles, it's Mutter. So, but that action, that Malacha called Borer, HaMalacha Hu, Bapsoles HaMilcha. The malacha is what you do to the psolas, but since you don't need the psolas, says the Baal HaMor, that counts as a malacha she ainu tzarach l'gufa. Gufa would have meant that I need it for the purpose of the action of the object I'm working on. So the malacha is the psola, is removal of the psolas, but the purpose, the benefit, is with the ochel. Malacha she ainu tzarach l'gufa. That was the Baal HaMor shita. First he says, listen, it's a huge chiddush to say that these two malachos are the only two that are ainu l'tzarach gufa. Wouldn't we assume that all malachos Shabbos are the same? But then he says, I found the Ramban. Now what's interesting is, and I maintain on the anxiety that our original assumption is more correct than the Egel Eital's assumption, but he's not going to quote the Ramban to be a fundamental disagreement with the Baal HaMor. He actually understands the Baal HaMor and the Ramban to be only arguing in a very minor point, and therefore he fundamentally brings the Ramban as a Tana de Messiah, as a help, as a support to the Baal HaMor. The first time I saw this ugly tie, I was shocked. But take a look what he says. Ach re'iti b'Ramban. He quotes the Ramban. Now he analyzes the Ramban. And I have no problem with his analysis of the Baal HaMor. I think he's spot on. Well, what does he say with the Ramban? Mavur shagam haRamban sover zora ubora hamalacha hi b'hapsolas. Adam yikal malkum choshav tzarach l'gufa af shahamalacha hi b'hapsolas. In essence, he doesn't say it outright, but I guess if I could put the best foot forward, the best face on the Egel Eital. In essence, is saying that they're arguing over the definition of malacha shetzarach l'gufa, and that even though the Ramban agrees that the malacha is in the psoles, he still feels that that counts to be l'tzarach gufa. To me, that's not l'tzarach gufa, and that's okay. The afshad zizah hibetziparnayim v'haseor. The other examples, right? You cut your fingernails or your hair, and yet. Hatikun huba adam, the action is not the hair. The benefit is not the hair. But the person, since I needed the gziza, that's considered the tzarach, my guf, so to speak, in the case. In other words, what he's saying is that there's a very technical machlokas, very limited machlokas, to some extent you could say, between the two. But for what it's relevant for, the definition of Borer, from Egel Eital assumes that there's no machlokas. They both agree that the malacha is quote unquote in the psolas. She said they have an argument, does that count as a malacha shetzarach l'gufa or ain't shetzarach l'gufa? If you're doing your malacha in the psolas, but the tikkun is for the ochel, or in the case of the hair cutting or the nails, the adam. I prefer the analysis that the Bir Halacha quotes from the Yeshua's Yaakov. We'll read that, and then we'll take a step back and try to summarize and hopefully make it clear for everyone as we go forward that there really seem to be two very different perspectives on the Malacha of Borer. So the Bir Halacha quotes the earlier posek, the earlier commentary in the Shulchan Aruch of Yeshua's Yaakov, who asked the question, Hikshep Ikram Malachas Borer, Afilu Borer Psolos Mitoch Ochel, Amai Chayiv, Hayim Lach Shechif Lagufa. Right? This was the problem of who? Of the Baal HaMor. Yeshua Yaakov asked the question on his own. How could you ever be chayiv on Borer? Isn't it always because you're going to take away the psolas, and you really want, your tzorech is not the psolas, your tzorech is the other thing. It seems to be, by definition, wired to always be butter. That's the Yeshua's Yaakov's question, which we already saw the Baal HaMor allude to. He's just trying to get rid of it. So the Yeshua's Yaakov answer is third line. First of all, the pebbles are not royal achila. It's not that you have royal achila food with ainer royal achila pebbles. When they're mixed up, says Yeshua Yaakov, the whole thing is ainer royal achila. It's true that there's something that if you bite, you'll break your tooth. Something that if you bite, you just be disgusting because you have dirt all over it. But fundamentally, the tarogus, if you will, the mixture, the ochel, in theory it's ochel, but not when it's mixed with pebbles, not when it's mixed with psolas. The whole thing is enroi lachila now, says the Yeshua's Yaakov. Galal came because, therefore, humah, we have psolas made in the ochel. So in order to rectify that problem, he takes away the pebbles, he takes away the psolas. Now to the underlying point, the key line. Im came. Hamalacha eino nikreis abberes hapsolas. Says the Shus Yaakov, the malacha is not in breres hapsolas, in removing the psolas. What's the malacha? The metaking ha'ocha. Shiyeh ro'i lachila. It wasn't, but now it is ro'i lachila. Zeho malacha atarach ha'guf ha'ochel. If you redefine the malacha the way he's defined it, so then the malacha is making the ochel edible. So that's the malacha, and that is clearly the tzarach kufa. That's the purpose. The mashi le ochel gomer. Now you've turned it into ochel. That was the action, and that's also the purpose. Let's take a step back and understand what's going on. First, let's understand what's going on in the actual sources. Now let's take a step back and put it in a lumdish framework. In the actual sources, what we have is something fascinating. The machlokes Baal HaMor and Ramban, in essence, is the havamina maskana of the Yeshua's Yaakov. The question of the Yeshua's Yaakov is assuming like the Baal HaMor, isn't it loch she'en tzrich l'gufa? Now if we stop here, we'd insert Baal HaMor, and Baal HaMor would say, ein echanami. It's just an exception to the rule. Then came along Yeshua's Yaakov with a maskana. Now before I give you more of an analysis of that maskana, just to point out the difference between Yeshua's Yaakov and the Eglei Tal. The Eglei Tal assumed that both Ramban and Baal HaMor agreed the definition of Borer is that it's a malacha done with the psolas. That is the malacha. It's just that he claimed there was a technical debate about the definition of the rule, malacha shetrich l'gufa or not. I think, in this time, that's a mistake. That a better reading of the Ramban can be inspired by the Yeshua's Yaakov. The Yeshua's Yaakov is not explicitly analyzing the Ramban now. But in essence, what is the Ramban, the Yeshua's Yaakov giving us? Something very valuable. Which transcends, it's actually more valuable than the Ramban. Because it's not going to be limited to the Ramban, it's going to help us in a much broader way. Yeshua's Yaakov is giving us a completely different perspective on what? On Borer. Whereas the Eglei Tal suggests that they're arguing about Machshuk L'Guf or not. Come along Yeshua's Yaakov and gives us a whole different approach to what? To Borer. What I would suggest is that the Yeshua's Yaakov's Maskana is actually the more correct understanding of the Ramban. Namely, that the Ramban really held that the essence of Borer is not the action you do with the psoles, but rather the fact that in so doing, you are misaking the ochel. And that's what the Yeshua's Yaakov said. And if you assume that, then you can reach the conclusion, as Yeshua's Yaakov did, that Borer is not controversial at all. It's a malacha sheh, shrikha l'gufa, just like the other 38 malachas. Now to take a step back. I'm almost there. The larger point which we have going on here, which is discussed by a number of Achronim, seems to be a machlokes min pajamka. You don't wake them up, just pajamka. Things in front of you. Soft. Well done. So, just for the record, so there should be a misunderstanding, I don't believe it's a chiyuv to sleep with the yarmulke. But if you're doing it in a shir, it's just poor taste. To do with that. The larger point is, gets to the heart, and this is what I want to use for the rest of the shir, gets to the heart of what Borer is. In Borer, two things are happening. We've seen this countless times in our learning together this year. Where you have a halacha or an action, there's really a composite of two different things. And very often we have seen Shonim or Achronim debating, even though the two things happen simultaneously, or even if not simultaneously, it's necessary to have both. The question always is, but in theory there's three options, but to be simple, the question is simply, which one of the two is the Iker? And just to take any example, you guys don't know what the Shabbat Kamal? That's if you do kinyanim, you know, there's the das of the kinyan, there's the maisa kinyan. So that's a huge discussion. Maybe you've had it already in your shiurim. What's the ikra? The maisa kinyan, the das of the kinyan, is it both? Maybe you can bechal between different kinyanim. And we've seen this in tons of mitzvahs, right? We did in bris milah at the beginning of the year. Right, what is the mitzvah of bris milah? Is it the asay tov? Is it you make the person mohul? Or is it the hasar sara? Is it taking rid of the arla? We saw this in countless examples. Here also, two things are going on. Whenever you do a borer, there's two things happening. Number one is you're removing the psolas. Number two is you're being mitakein the ocha. Question is, which one is the malacha? Now, in terms of the rules of what must I do, so to speak, or what may I not do, what must I do for it to be a violation? So that everyone agrees. I mean, we pass this way in Shulchan Aruch. Everyone agrees that the definition of the malacha in terms of the action is solas mitoch ocha. That everyone's going to agree with. The question is, though, when I do the psolas mitoch ocha, what did I do that was really awesome? Is it that I took psolas and that already, right away, if we could freeze frame the moment, that's the isser? Or does the isser happen in a certain sense, if you will, a millisecond later? That's not so much chronologically. Let me rephrase. It's not so. I'm just using that to make it clear to you. But it's really not the issue of chronology because they really are actually simultaneous. Is it the action of the Hasara Samoneh, the action of taking away the Psoles, or the result of the Tikkun Ochel? I prefer that formulation. What's the Isser? Everyone agrees the action, the Maisa Isser, is taking away the Psoles. Well, what's the actual Isser, right? Analogous to what we saw in Halacha, sometimes with Mitzvos. There's a Maisa Mitzvah and a Kima Mitzvah. So what's the Kiyum Aver, if you will? We can make up a term. The Balamor is assuming, and Agag, the Eglei Tal, is completely convinced that the Isser is, don't get fancy on me, Psolos v'toch Ochel means the Isser is the Maisa Netilas HaPsolos. Take away the Psolos is the Isser. Well, if that's the case, then we could have a debate. Is that Shrich L'Gufa or Shrich L'Gufa? Because after all, the whole purpose is for the food. So I'm taking away the Psolos for the purpose of the food. According to the Balamor, that's in fact Anitrich Lagufa. Maybe the Ramban disagrees for technical reasons, but fundamentally, the whole issue only arises, as Eglei Tal pointed out, because the Balamor assumed that the Isser is the action of Netilas HaPsolos. However, I would suggest that a better understanding of Ramban is inspired by the issue of Yaakov. And that is, he fundamentally disagrees, not about the definition of Malacha Shrich Lagufa, but rather, definition of Borer and L'shitaso, it's not the Maisa Netila of the Psolos, removing the Psolos of the Isser, rather it's the result, the Totsa'a, the Tikkun HaOchel. And which is what he said so beautifully when he's talking about Bris Milah. It's the Tikkun HaAdam. That's the benefit. And that's what would be Usser if you didn't have the Zerus HaKosov of the Yom HaShemini. In that case, if the Isser is the Tikkun HaOchel, so if the Isser is the Tikkun HaOchel, and the reason I'm doing the action is L'Takkun HaOchel, So then the Ramban says, of course, it's no different than any other malacha. It's easily, understandably, a malacha shesirich legufa. The action is tikkun ochel, and the purpose is tikkun ochel. It's tzarech gufa. I did the action to the thing I needed it to be done to. That seems to be what I would think is the machlokas. Either way, these two differing approaches to borer seem to underlie a number of other shilas that are discussed in the poskim. So, for example, it's a very interesting machlokas, which, if we would paskin one way on the shila, would be a humongous kula for us. Because let's be honest, and if this refers, and if an answer to your question is your mother, do not volunteer the answer. How many of you have never eaten at the Shabbos table, and the reason that you started playing around and separating food was because in the shulint you had potatoes, meat, onions, barley, and rocks? How many of you ever were confronted with the borer shaila because while you're eating your salad, you had tomatoes, onions, peppers, and pebbles? Nobody? Not even at your neighbors? Not me neither. In other words, what I'm trying to say is that the biblical, the Mishkan model of borer is very, very rare. To have actual psoles, inedible food objects, mixed in with food, and I have to separate them so I can eat the food? Every one of you walked into the shir assuming that that's not at all what borer means exclusively. You assumed it meant, give me an example of, in the salad. Right, you don't like mushrooms. Right? They give you a salad and you love tomatoes. Oh, you love cucumbers and onions. But you don't love mushrooms. So shaila, can I take the mushrooms out? Right? That's a borer shaila, right? That's what you thought. The closest thing we have maybe are seeds in the watermelon. If I could tell you, they're edible. Trust me. They're edible. Shells of a peanut, they're edible. Again, I say trust me. Nothing's grown in my stomach yet, but I had spent many years of my childhood testing that theory. So the shaila is, what I'm bringing out to you is it so obvious that the concept of borer would apply if we're dealing not with ochel and psoles, but the poskim referred to as shnei mini ochel, two types of food, because I don't either like ever, or at least at the moment, I'm not in the mood for one of them. This seems to be machlokas rishonim, and it's one of those things that's such a consequential, major machlokas. I mean, it's not to me, it's not to Shabbos, much more than the Rashi. It all comes down to a girsa issue. If you take a look at number three, Gemara Shabbos, the standard text which I have for you is Rashi's Girsa. Tan Rabbanan, Hayu Lefanav Minei Ochlin. You have types of food, and then the Gemara goes on to discuss what you do or don't do. Rashi says on that Gemara, Minei Ochlin, Garcina. That's the correct Girsa. Lo Garcinan, Shnei. We don't use the Lashon of two. Why? As Rabbeinu Chananel, the Ritvos and other, and Ritva and others explain, what does Rashi mean? That the Lashon of the Gemara is Mine Ochlin. You have any type of food. Mine, not in plural, I have multiple foods in front of me. Rather, I have any type of food. And what's left unsaid is what's shver a little bit in Rashi. What's left unsaid in Rashi's version of the Gemara is, and I also have Psolus. The point is, you shouldn't think, the chiddush, so to speak, is you shouldn't think it's just referring to wheat, like in the Mishkan. Minei ochlin, any type of food. Brackets, unwritten in the Gemara, and so less. Then you have a borer shaila, you have to do this, you can't do that. That's Rashi. However, Tosfos points out the Rabbeinu Chananel and other Rishonim have a different girsa based on Yerushalmi. And there, their girsa is shnei minei ochlin. Then the chiddush of these Rishonim, as Tosfos points out, is that you have this new concept of borer. Borer is not just limited to when you have objective psoles, actual inedible food, but rather what I call, for lack of a creative alternative, subjective psoles. Right? Your mother may love mushrooms. So she put them in the salad. You don't love mushrooms. For you, they're psolas, so you want to take them out. According to these Rishonim, this Gemara is a tremendous chiddush and a huge chumrah. The borer is not just psolas mitoch ochel, it's even ochel mitoch ochel. Because the one I'm removing is relative psolas to the one I want to leave and eat. Shaila, this agav, is whether Rashi really argues or not, or is it just a girsa issue, but in halacha he would argue. There are some, the Ritva seems to poo-poo the machlokes. It's kind of a technical girsa thing, but yeah, of course, Rashi would agree. But if you take a look on the top of the next page, the Pnei Yoshua disagrees. The Pnei Yoshua says, Bapashtus, no, Rashi was Bedavka. Rashi would out of his way to say Garcinon, because Rashi may not hold of Shnei Mini Ochla, which would be a huge kula if we would accept that. The Bir Halacha, in explaining this, says, Ulefiza Dafka Psolas Mitoch Ochla, the Ein Roy Lachila Kla, Mitchila, Mashvile Ochla, explaining why Rashi might be Mekil. He says Rashi only means, Rashi believes that Bur only applies if you have absolute psolas. Why? Because if you have absolute psolas mixed in, what does that render the whole mixture? Inedible. Who does that remind us of, by the way? Yeshua Yaakov. Right? Yeshua Yaakov, also in the same Bir Halacha. Yeshua Yaakov said before, right? The definition of borer is because of the mixture, the whole thing is inedible. Not just you have inedible and edible. The composite is inedible. So Bir Halacha accepts that. He says, that's what Rashi says. If you have rocks in your salad, so the whole thing is inedible. Who's going to eat it? But if you have mushrooms in your salad, ochel mitoch ochel, so you may or may not like it, but it's not ein roi lachila. Now, if the Bir Halacha is right in explaining Rashi, I think if we take a step back, this machlokas also fits into our pattern with the Balamor and the Ramban. Which is to say, if the focus of the malach is netilas habsolas, taking away something that you don't want, so that it's very reasonable to be machmir. And say anything that is relative solas for you, if you remove that, you may be in violation. However, if, as we saw from Ramban and the Yeshua Yaakov, the focus of the Isser is not in the Tilas Apsolas, but rather the resulting Tikkun HaOchel, so then the Shail is, what is really a Tikkun? And could be you could argue on this, you could definitely quibble, but as we saw from the Yeshua Yaakov, and now we see a second line from the Bir Halacha, those Poskim were focusing more on the result. The Tikkun seemed to be requiring a Tikkun with a capital Tav. It needs to be transformed. That was the Lashon of Bir Halacha. According to Rashi, we need to take it from being Ein Roi Lachila, and not Roi Lachila. Similar to what we had seen in the Shos Yaakov. It's a total transformation. It was inedible, and you made it into something that's more edible. If mushrooms and salad, maybe for you it's a little bit better. I would agree most of the time. But you cannot suggest that that is a total transformation of the salad. It's just a salad with one less ingredient. Or pebbles in a salad, then it's fat. Take it away. It's inedible. So this machlokas with major ramifications may also be dependent on this focus. Maisa or the netila. I'm going to leave out number four. We don't have time. And just briefly, the next 5-6 minutes, we'll do number five and number six. Aruch HaShulchan and other poskim in number 5 discuss the following shaila. Let's say you have a lot of psolas mixed in, and I take out some of it. You hear? I take out some of it, and then I stop. On the one hand, I, without a doubt, 100% did what seems to be a prohibited act. I took psolas from Tochoch. On the other hand, there's still more psolas left over. So the Aruch HaShulchan says, quotes the Yerushalmi, Amar Rav Yudin, Yeshu Barat Shraras Kol Yom, Ve'en HaMachayiv, someone who's separating rocks the whole day and he's not over, it should not talk to be Gorgor, some Yadis Chayim, and there's others who take only a small amount, it could be Chayim. Hey Chavida, how could that happen? In one case yes, one case no. In the following case, Ayoshev al Gabi Kriyu Bir Tsaras Kal Yom, Eim Chayim. Don't talk Yadu Kugorgor, it's a Bir Chayim. Let's say you have someone with so many rocks that he's spending the whole day taking out rocks, but he never finishes. That's not Chayim. Someone who takes out the one rock, but there only is one rock, he could be Chayim. That's the Yerushalmi. Lamad Rubizes, that's Aruch HaShochem, third line. The Kalmi Sheborer, O Zorah, Koshu Dlo Gomar Levarer, O Lazarot. Eino Chayim. Mir Midar Rabbanon. Midar Raisa, Borer only is violated if you remove the entire Psoas. This is the Aruch HaShochem's understanding of the Gemara Yerushalmi. Now, it's a huge heter in theory, but he points out that anyway it's going to be also Midar Rabbanon, and that's why the Poskim don't mention there's a Kula. But we know, first of all, it's always important to know the difference, and second of all, there are often nafkaminas when you have difficult and extenuating circumstances. If you're only confronted with the Derabanan, it's a lot easier to get a heter. Says Aruch HaShochem, if you don't take out all of the Psoas, it's only Midarabanan. However, the Eglay Tal suggests, perhaps you could argue, perhaps he suggests the Bavli would argue. And the Eglay Tal's basis of Machlokas, the issue it seems to be forefront as we've seen, the Chorah should be obvious to you by now. Namely, as we just saw when it came to the food versus Psoas, if the focus is the mice and the tila, so just like we said, even take mushrooms away, if you don't like them, is a problem. So surely taking pebbles away, even if I didn't take them all away, but each one is a mice and a tila psoas, that's an avera. But if the focus is not the mice and the tila, but rather what? So, you know, it's like the boss at work, show me results. I don't want excuses, I want results. Can I eat the salad now or not? Right, what did the Bir Halacha say? What did Shus Yaakov say? I took something that was in a Roy Lachila and I made a Roy. But it's still not Roy Lachila. There's still more rocks. Maybe then it's only, even though you did everything that would otherwise be prohibited, maybe that's why I put it in the Rabbah. If you hold that the purpose is the Mice and the Tila, or it should be Asur Daraisa even if you only took out part of it. And let's conclude, number six, with the issue of non-food items. It was mentioned before, we'll mention it now. The Taz in number 6 points out the following. If you take a look at all of the Gemaras, they all, when they're discussing Borer, discuss food. In fact, they saw Machlokes and the Girsa, in the first Gemara, and the second Gemara, we saw Borer Mine Ochlin, Shnei Mine Ochlin, Mine Ochlin, but it's everyone agreed on one thing. Ochlin. It was all food. So the Taz is a Havamina, which would be a huge kula. The Taz is a hava, meaning that maybe it's not a coincidence. Maybe the Gemara always gives examples of ochel because that's all the melacha refers to. Now why would it be limited to ochel? Because that's what happened in the Mishkan. They were dealing with a food item, with wheat. Grain, crops, says the Taz. Maybe that's why the Gemara always says ochel. At the end of the Taz, however, he gets cold feet. Quotes Rashi, that Rashi, he thinks, is implies as mashma, the borer even applies to non-food items, and that seems to be the last we hear of the kula from the Taz, at least. Let's take a look in the Taz. It's one that we didn't see. There's a Gemara, if you take a look in the third, fourth line of the Taz, Amar Rava. And there's a certain guy who often this comes up in the Gemara, especially in Shabbos, where the Gemara tells you about a certain action or a certain person, and the one thing he was violating numerous averus. And then it's like a, you know, it's like a, it's a game of intellectual gymnastics to try to figure out which of the melachos the one action could garner. So in that context, Rashi gave an example. The chosh of Rashi borer b'nehem. Even though there was no food in that case, Rashi threw in Borer as one of the seven in a story in the Gemara which wasn't talking about food. That's the Taz's deal. You see, Borer is not just limited to food. Oh well, there goes the heter. However, we'll end this man on a kula. And it comes from the Or Sameach. The Or Sameach and Hilchos Shabbos gives us a definition of Borer which I find very compelling. Says the Or Sameach, Da, the Borer Gidrohu Davar Habolo Yachad Mishtamish Gubal Bezer. The definition, an essential ingredient to borer, is that first you have a ta'arogas. You have to have something that's bolul yachad, something that's totally mixed up. And it's used typically as a mixture. Then, if I separate a part of it, that's a violation. But something that's not really mixed up at all, lo shayich borer. Then borer is not even shaykh. Lufi dvarai, borer kli mitoch kli. Sometimes you see through the highlights. Mentioned before, cutlery. Says Or Sameach, you take a fork from a fork, or you take the knife out of the fork bin, which is the classic shaylah. Maybe you've heard shurim on it, you've read it in some halacha book. If you have a pile of forks and the knife is in there, you can't take the knife out. You can't separate your cutlery. Says Or Sameach, lo hayah dvar meolam. It's mutter. The otu mishtamish kishen b'lulim. Do you use these items as a mixture? Halo b'kol kara mishtamish b'fnei asmo. Use each plate, in his example, independently. For lo shayah hu. So what's the classic shayla? In your socks drawer, in your underwear drawer, putting things back, you're taking things out. Also, the people are machmir. Again, it doesn't hurt to be machmir. Sometimes it's simple. You know, in other words, if you're looking for something, right, you want your particularly blue socks. So if you look at some svarim, they'll say, well, you can't look around. Black, move that. Red, move that. Yellow, move that. Oh, here's the blue. Right, you should be machmir, as the svarim say. So just take what you need, not take away what you didn't want. Says Or Sameach, the whole thing is not necessary. Because the socks are not a tarogas. The cutlery is not a tarogas. I think when it comes to silverware, for sure, clothing is for sure correct. The shaila has how far to take it. We don't have time to discuss it, but there are poskim and Libi Omerli that's very compelling. Any time the constituent parts are very distinct, you can clearly see them as separate units. It seems clear to me that that should not be a prayer of borer. For example, I hesitate to say this definitively, especially not on tape, but one could surely make the argument based on Or Sameach that in salads there's no shaychus of borer. Is that a mixture? If you ground it all up or something, maybe that would be a mixture. But I don't know. I'm not sure that when I got a mushroom sitting on top of my salad, that would be the type of bowl yacha that the Or Sameach is describing that would then prohibit you from taking the mushroom. Now, there are all sorts of ways of being machmir that are easy. You push off the mushroom with one of the pieces of lettuce, which you would otherwise want. There are other ways of doing it, or eating around the mushroom. Not necessarily saying one should be making, and those of you who are going home should ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Not rabbi, but just for fun, I have to mention that. I think what neighborhood you're going to, it could be very relevant. But I think, at least in theory, it's something to consider. Lamaisi, to conclude, how does this relate to our shaila, our chakira? I think very clearly. The more you hold that it's about the maisa natila, so then the more you're going to be less concerned with how mixed up the stuff was. However, if you hold that the whole purpose is tikkun, that there was something that as a unit, remember going back to the original Yeshus Yaakov, it's so important, that source, that you had something that was ainah roi. We don't look at it as the orla and the person, the fingernail and the person. Now we looked at it together as something that was choser tikkun, and then I did an action and that was metakein. So for that, it makes sense. You need to Or Sameach. You need something to be bolul yachad, akin to. It's as if they're almost inseparable. Almost like the example of the arla or the fingernail. Ooh, then I separate them. That's the shayla. That could be an avera. But if it's totally separate anyway, what's the connection between the... What connection does the lettuce have to the mushroom? They happen to both be on my plate. So what? I'm taking, if I had a plate just of mushrooms and I didn't like mushrooms, can I pick them up and move them? You could do, there's no Isser in that. Right? Shaila is, do you look at the lettuce and all the other things as connected? Or do you look at the silverware? And the Rosh Hashanah says, no, we don't look at the silverware as a mixture. They have each fork has no connection to the other fork. And then what's the difference if I move this one up and this one down and this one left and this one right? Borer requires first a taroves and then something taken out of the taroves. If you have no taroves to begin with, says the Rosh Hashanah, there can't be any borer either. Something to consider. And we should have a very chag, kosher v'sameach. Whichever country you're in, you should have a wonderful Pesach. And in Mirz Hashem, we'll see you in Kai tomorrow.